Well, please turn back in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, that we may be like the Bereans this morning and test the things that I might say and know that they are indeed God's word and not just the ramblings of some man. And as we begin, let us pray. Make the book live to me, O God. Make the book live to me. Show us ourselves, show us our sin, show us our Saviour, that we might be more like him. Make the book live to me, O God. Amen. Well, may I begin by asking you a question? I wonder who cleans the shoes in your house? A few smiles and thoughts at that point. Do you do your own? You don't have to shout up and ask. Or is there a designated shoe cleaner? Or are you able, just as is required, one or another of you to go to the cupboard and find the brushes and the polish? There's some looks going round that suggest that one or two of you don't even know where the brushes and polish might be, even if they're in the house. These days, of course, it's one of them spongy things that you wipe over, isn't it, rather than the old-fashioned spit and shine. But there we are. Well, when I was in the sixth form at school, there was a boy whose mum still cleaned his shoes, unpacked his cricket bag and his school bag for him. We were 18 at the time, which was why it was such a surprise to us. We were all rather amazed and so on, but that's just the way it was in their house. But sometimes I think it's the little jobs like that, the cleaning of the shoes, the packing of the bags, that challenge us and reveal to us the true nature of our hearts on the matter of submission, which is where we find ourselves today. In some senses, we can find it very easy to be submitting and submissive in larger and more obvious areas. But sometimes the real nature of our hearts becomes evident when we pick up something else. Now, you might not find the shoe cleaning analogy helpful. It might be dishes, dirty laundry, washing car. You know, any one of these mundane and smaller tasks might be the one that reveals the truth for you. In our house, there's an awful lot of cleaning of shoes that needs to be done. We very rarely offer to clean somebody else's. Tragically, we probably don't clean the kids enough, and they wear out sooner than they should. It's strange, really. Why I find it so difficult to say, hey, it's Saturday, bring me your shoes, and tomorrow they'll be sparkling when we go to church. I wish I could. I wish I could do that. My parents did that. I wish I could imbue that into my children over the course of time. Now, you're all staring at my shoes and know they do need a polish, so let's get that out of the way, all right, this morning. And I wonder if that might be an idea of submission. You know, I'm not going to wear those shoes. Shoes are sometimes smelly. They get mucky. People don't clean them. And then they get worse. And do you know, I don't like playing with other people's shoes. And maybe there's something in me that's not quite right and it's being revealed through this. Well, that's where I have a submission issue, perhaps. Perhaps it also indicates that I have a wider issue. So let's ask ourselves this morning. Let me ask myself, as I have done this week, and perhaps you can come along for the ride, what this submission thing in Scripture is all about. Clearly, it's one of our one another's, not least because I've chosen it for this sermon, but because Paul says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Verse 21 is our text today, chapter 5 and verse 21. And Paul could hardly write submitting to one another, as he does in this text, in such general language, if it were not the responsibility of all believers, if there were not some aspect of our lives that we must submit. And the sentence Paul is writing does not begin in verse 21, as many of our Bibles suggest, and start a new section before that verse or even just after that verse. Indeed, there really is no break anywhere between verse 18 and almost on into chapter 6. This long section holds together all about this subject. You may wish, and not everybody likes to do it, but you may wish to take up a pencil and actually strike out the title that falls in most Bibles between 20 and 21 or 21 and 22, because it really isn't helpful. King James the readers at this point can look smug because there isn't one there. The sentence begins right back at verse 18, where there are two comments, a challenge to every believer. Put off and put on. Put off being filled with drink, which leads to debauchery, and instead put on the filling of the Spirit. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So that is the reason that precedes and is behind any submission that the Christian does. Any submission that we are called to do. It's the work of God in our lives. When God, the Holy Spirit, comes upon a believer and fills him or her, submission is one of the things that follows. Now, I need to pause there and start by saying, are you a Christian this morning? Because when God, the Holy Spirit, comes on somebody and changes their heart and their mind, it's not that he just does it without asking you. It's going to be important, and we'll see later on. But he comes and he works powerfully in your life, but he involves you and asks you to believe, to choose, to submit to God's truth. God's truth is that we're all fallen sinners. We've heard this already this morning. We all need a saviour. We all need to be rescued. We all need to turn from our own way to God's way. We all need to admit that we can't deal with the problems we make for ourselves and that we make for other people. Let us be honest. Let's look at the world. Do you see it getting better and better? Or do you see mankind making it worse and worse? Let's ask ourselves another question. How many people die? One out of one people die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. In other words, that's an indictment from God on mankind, that we are all sinners. We all need a Saviour. And the way to God, the way back to God, the way to have this Saviour is when God the Holy Spirit comes and says, this is the truth, you're a sinner, you need a Saviour, his name is Jesus, he can take you to heaven, it's for you to submit. And to say, yes, I believe. It's all you have to do. You can't earn it, you can't work at it, you can't do anything else other than that. Christ has done the work. But will you submit and say, I believe? Will you bow the knee and say, I'm a sinner, I need your grace, Lord Jesus? I know many of you, indeed most of you, have done that here this morning, but perhaps if you haven't, you would think deeply on this and talk to me after the service. When the Spirit of God comes on someone, he comes in a spirit of submission, calling us to be a submitted people to God. It's intriguing. The Spirit of God himself is a spirit of submission because he doesn't raise himself up into the limelight. The Spirit of God comes and reminds us and teaches us and shows us the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of God's greatest work is Scripture, recording for us the life of Jesus Christ. And then again, his greatest work is revealing that Scripture in every heart that has become saved. He never craves the limelight, but wants to show us Jesus. It's amazing, really. Listen to how Jesus promised that God the Holy Spirit would come. John chapter 16 and verses 8 and onwards. When he comes, Jesus Christ, talking about God the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Notice what God the Holy Spirit will do. Did you see that? In regard to sin, because men do not believe in who? Jesus Christ. That's what God the Holy Spirit is going to do. He's going to say, because you don't believe in Jesus, not because you don't believe in me. It's amazing how the Spirit points to the Lord Jesus. And then Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In that passage, as the Holy Spirit is promised by Jesus to his followers, is indeed the death of the charismatic movement as well. At least the parts of it that say the spiritual gifts and their overflow in our lives is the be-all and end-all. Because the Spirit himself doesn't want those gifts to be the be-all and end-all. He wants there to be preachers and prophets and all the other things, and those who love, so that Christ may be seen. So that you and I can be a bit more like Christ and reveal him. That's what is going on. Now, that human error of raising the gifts and the action and all of that beyond the Lord Jesus Christ is one that Peter would not have us make either. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, we find a lovely parallel verse which helps us with this one. If you want to put a finger in Ephesians 5 and also in 1 Peter 5, then I would encourage you, because that is really useful to have these two verses together. It is directed to young men, but advice to young men is often relevant to others as well, as I've discovered much. Young men, says Peter to the church in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, in the same way be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So as I say, you may wish to keep that a finger in there. Those two verses really do link well together and help us to understand what is going on here. Peter is quoting from Proverbs, and he's saying that the gift of humility that God the Holy Spirit brings into our hearts works out in your life in submission. And it leads to this wonderful result that you know God's favour. The gift of humility in your heart leads to the work of submission in your life. And the result is we know God's favour. What a great encouragement that is. What a wonderful truth that is, isn't it, brothers and sisters? The work of God, the Holy Spirit in your life and mine, helps us to be humble, to submit, and to know that God is good and to experience his grace in our lives. Are you not inspired at this point to pray, Lord, make me humble? It's the challenge I've had this week. Lord, make me humble. Lord, help me to submit. And then, of course, what must follow? We must trust him, yes, for his blessing and favour. But let's never pray, Lord, make me humble, and forget that what's going to follow is I'm going to need to submit. Because so often we do that, don't we? So often we say, Lord, make me humble. And then we step back and wait for it to happen, like a waft of something in our lives. Well, that might happen. God is gracious and works miracles. But we need to be active in this as well. It's pointless to pray, God, make me humble, but I'm not going to submit to my boss at work, even though he's asked me to do this. You can't say that as a prayer. It doesn't add up. It doesn't stack up. The two are inextricably linked. Our actions will follow our prayers. Well, here is the wonderful truth. The work of God, the Holy Spirit, in your life and mine is to make us humble, to cause us to submit, that we might know God's favour. But what does the word submit actually mean? Because the world has hijacked it. And by now, you might be a little bit annoyed with me, thinking I'm suggesting something that the Bible is not. The world has taken this word and made it into something that the Bible never intended it to be. Submission and submissive are now words more closely associated with certain types of sexual relationship and certain wrestling things more than anything else in our world. And nothing could be further than the truth. There is no sense in this word of force, being forced to do something or anything like that. There's no negative overtone in the Bible in the word submission. The temptation is for us to let the world define the word, and we mustn't. Brothers and sisters, we must always let God's word define our world, show a light on our world, explain to us what's going on in the world, and show us where the world is twisting the good that God would have us to know. We really need to understand what the Bible says, not what, I don't know, 50 Shades of Grey or whatever that TBA wrestling is or whatever that is on late at night and is just outrageous. The word submission in the Bible means to order one's self under someone else, to voluntarily choose to accept someone else as leader in a situation, to voluntarily choose to accept somebody else's suggestion for what to do in a situation, to accept that at this moment or for this season, this person or that can lead me the way God wants me to go, guide me and help me. There is no sense of compulsion. There is no sense of harm or force. Instead, there is a clear sense of choice and reason and mutual benefit as we go on with God. It's very interesting. We can see this in one way as Paul sets submission up against some things which he doesn't see involved in it at all. I hope you will find this helpful. Variously in this letter, he contrasts submission. He says submission is not anything to do with individualism. It's not anything to do with one person being the boss, being the top dog, organizing things their way, and you all copy them. That's not submission. Chapter 4 and verse 4 of Ephesians, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. It's not about any human being. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and following him. Contrast it to pride in verses 1 to 3 of that chapter. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another with love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Here is Paul saying, I could be proud of what I'm doing. I could be proud of who I am. I could ask you to take great joy and speak of all that's going on, but that's not what it is. In another place, he will say, I was a prisoner, and this has happened to me, and that has happened to me. And then what does he say? But I boast in these things for the Lord, not in any sense of pride. All these things are lived as a life worthy. It's not about pride and raising a person up. It's about showing Jesus. There's an authoritarianism in chapter 3, which he contrasts pride against as well. These things are not in anything to do with submission. Well, let's be utterly honest. How could they be? Just remember what we know of the root of submission. Where does it grow from in our lives? To suggest that submission is a negative thing, that somebody is put down, that somebody else is the top dog, how can that flow from God the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts? It can't, can it? Because it's not the sort of person God the Holy Spirit is. That's not the things that he leads us to. And I think as we try and live a submissive life in the world and in the church today, we must remember that link, because that encourages us. God grants us humility. I think that's the greatest help. It's the one truth that enables us to accept that submission, biblical submission, proper submission, is right and proper, because it comes from God, the Holy Spirit. And all this submission is linked absolutely and incontrovertibly to the words and the verses that come ahead as well. In this long sentence, which begins in verse 18, the word submitting in verse 21 is actually a participle. It flows from verse 18. In verse 18, we're told, be filled with the Spirit, and that will result in four things. And it's all this one long sentence. Those four things are, you will speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You will sing and make music. You will give thanks, and you will submit. And those four things flow equally from the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. And do you know what I think I find in our modern lives? That we balk at these, don't we? Our culture wants us to stop doing these things, doesn't it? Think of the language and the way that we speak to one another in the world today. Okay, the abbreviation of text messaging and tweets and all of this, and how it can be misunderstood, is not speaking to one another graciously with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in the language of Christ, is it? How often do you hear someone singing? And how often do we as parents ask our children not to sing those songs they learn on Sunday quite so loud when they're walking down the high street? Well, perhaps we don't, but you can be embarrassed, can't you? When actually, as a brother or sister in Christ, we should jolly well be joining in at the tops of our voices with the biggest smile on our faces, shouldn't we? Because that's the infection of the Spirit of God in our lives overflowing in joy and wonder. And we should sing God's praise. How often do we say, "Thank you, God"? And how often do we mutter it under our breath rather than say it out loud when others might hear? I think the worst of these is submission. I don't think it's a popular subject. I don't think it's a popular word. If the devil is trying to get at those first three, I think he's got well and truly at the subject of submission and changed our hearts and minds over it. Let's stop letting our lives getting forced into individualism and little boxes and doing what culture demands. Let's fight the devil's influence. Let's remember that we're studying God's word. For us as a people, we should do as we find. And he says we should do these things for one another and to one another and with one another. We should be grateful. We should sing together. We should speak well to one another. And we should submit to one another. On this subject of submission, then, as Christians, we should be ready and able to adopt the biblically submissive role in any situation, should the need dictate. How easily can we move from being leader to being someone who is submitted in that situation? That's a challenge for the Christian, isn't it? There are many situations where we do lead rightly, and we should lead. But how fast can you get from that into that submission position when somebody else is the right leader and the appropriate leader? That's a challenge I face, and I know others have spoken to me of it. Some of us really struggle here. But the natural ability of the believer, and the more years we go on with God, it should come more easily to us that we find we can submit our will to that of the Lord Jesus Christ, submit our choice to that of someone else who he has elected for that moment to lead or to serve. The link to the verses that follow is clear because there's no Greek verb in verse 22. Wives may wish to jump at this and say, "Wives to your husbands." It doesn't say submit, but unfortunately the verses are tied greatly together, and the Greek in effect puts the verb in without it being there. But the link between the verses is vital, not because wives submitting to their husbands is particularly anything out of the ordinary. It's one of about three situations that follow, and they all link into this one verse. Submitting to one another, out of reverence for Christ is then made example for us. Paul shows us how it should be. In other words, whilst we all submit to one another, there are ways in which the submission is right and wrong, and that's encouraged for us in the life of the church. It's wrong, for instance, for a man to give up being head of the house and not take on that role and just be submitted to everybody else, whether that be an adult or a child. It's wrong for an elder in the church who God has appointed and the church has elected to allow himself to be pushed around hither and thither by all and sundry. That's everything turned on its head. And likewise, for a slave and a master. That's not submission. That's passing the buck and giving up on what God has called us to do. What Paul is doing in these verses that follow is demonstrating what biblical submission looks like in a number of circumstances, the home, the family, the workplace, and calling various parties to submit and others not to be walked over and not to turn down their responsibility. Notice in chapter 6 and verse 9, I think a key verse, "Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism with him." Masters are not called to stop being masters, and slaves not to stop being slaves, but to do the right thing, the good thing, for the glory of God. Submission is therefore an orderly and defined thing that we don't just make up on our own as we go along. We should, as the spirit of humility from Christ comes on us, find his way and the right way of submitting and being submissive, not just caving in and being a doormat, giving in to the latest idea or someone else's whim. Well, if it's an orderly and defined thing, and God guides us in that too, the last phrase of verse 21 of our text tells us what motivates us. And this is really encouraging. All of this we do because we reverence Christ. When we think of being a submitted people, of being submissive, and some situations we find it easy and some we find it hard. In every single situation where the Christian is called to submit, we don't do it for the person we're submitting to. We don't do it for ourselves, although God will grant us his favour, we've read in 1 Peter 5. We do it out of reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this is the most wonderful help, because it means I can submit to somebody who, humanly speaking, I find offensive, difficult, rude. But I can still, by God's grace, submit because Christ has submitted, because Christ has ordained this moment, because I want to reverence him. Literally, the older translations help us here. They say, out of the fear of Christ. And that's not fear of the ogre, fear of that which can hurt us. That's reverence and awe for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I submit? How can I submit? Because God, the Holy Spirit, has come in my life and made me humble. But I do it because I am amazed at what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and is doing. So then our motivation is Jesus Christ himself. For he is our example in this. He is the one who shows us the way in this. He has submitted himself to the will of the Father in ways that I have to say we cannot imagine. Jesus Christ made himself the servant of all those whose sins he bore because the Father asked him to. He submitted himself even to terrible torture and to that humiliating death on the cross because the Father asked him to. He was marred and disfigured so that you and I might be saved. Unless we have this as our motivation, then our submission will always be in some way, shape or form for our own selfish gain. I'll let you choose today's outing, but I'm choosing next week. How often do you get that sense from two young people who are told that there is a couple of outings coming up? I'll let you have your say in the kitchen, but I'm expecting my choice of TV later on this evening. There's a couple of smiles there, and I'm smiling myself because I know that one's happened in our house. We must have as our motivation to reverence the Lord Jesus Christ, to acknowledge him, because we are in awe of him and what he has done. We must honour him and declare him as we submit to one another, as we submit to his teaching, as we submit to his will for our lives. Let's honour him by being like him. When we're submissive to one another properly and appropriately, biblically, in other words, then Jesus Christ is revealed in us. When the church is so ordered, when the workplace is so ordered, when the home is so ordered, we reveal Jesus Christ to the world. That's what this passage is saying. So let us submit to one another because it is God's way, because it is Christ's way, because it is what happens when God, the Holy Spirit, a person of great submission in and of himself, comes into our hearts and makes us humble and leads us to this. Bringing the gift of humility, let's acknowledge that. Leading us to choose the submissive attitude, let us admit that. And let's acknowledge that we do it out of reverence for Christ. And let's know God's favour and reveal him to others. I began by saying, who cleans the shoes in your house? I was in part inspired by the Lord Jesus Christ when he cleaned the disciples' feet. I think there is no better demonstration of a true spirit of humility and an appropriate submission than that episode recorded for us in John chapter 13. The Lord Jesus Christ used the custom of his day, the washing of dusty and grimy feet, to show the disciples that he was doing the Father's will, submitting to the Father's will in order to rescue them from sin. It's just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "A person who's had a bath only needs to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you're clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not every one was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the way in which he shows us how to live. We thank you for the way in which he taught the disciples, and that they have written down for us how we should put into practice his words, his teaching. Father God, we thank you for God the Holy Spirit, who has preserved this word and who brings it alive to us today and who works in our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring us this gift of humility, that we may be a submitted people. In every situation, Father, will you show us whom and how we should submit? Show us if we're making mistakes, either by being doormats or by not leading, if that is your will. And we acknowledge that every aspect of leadership is indeed submitted to you, and that we only serve as those you appoint to some small aspect of your kingdom. Father, send God the Holy Spirit, that we might be humble and submit to one another and know your favor. We thank you for that promise, that blessings come for those who are obedient. Help us to obey, not in our strength but in yours, that we may be a blessed people and may witness to the world that we reverence the Lord Jesus Christ, that we wish to be like him, that you are making us like him, that one day we will be with him. And we pray, our Father, as we love one another like this, as Christ has loved us, you will enable us to be a people who reveal that we are his disciples, that we are yours, and one day we'll be with you in glory. Make us a submitted people, we pray. Amen.